60 people walked down Masaryk Avenue to a synagogue on the eve of the Jewish New Year. They did not chant Gaza. They did not chant ceasefire. They chanted Jews out of Mexico. That was not a protest. It was a measurement. A march that wants to change a policy needs a crowd. One that wants to measure a country needs only a sample of Boston bodies as a social experiment. 60 is not few. 60 is the exact dose to produce the stimulus without producing the scandal. What gets measured afterward measures itself, with no one confessing anything, how long the police take, whether prosecutors open a file, whether the press names it or writes it up as tensions, whether the federal government uses the right noun or dodges it. They did not say Gaza. They set out. They carried Palestinian flags. And there is the fact that decides everything that follows. The chant was not addressed to any foreign government. Read those four words again. There is no politics in them. No humanitarian cause. There is an address and an eviction order. It is not aimed at a state, it is aimed at Mexican citizens for being who they are. It does not ask for a change in conduct, it asks for an absence of people. There is a one-line test and it works every time. Take the chant, replace the word Jews with the name of any other group of Mexicans, and read it out loud. If your mouth goes dry, it was not a protest. It was something else wearing a protest costume. What came next was selective outrage. Intellectuals who have spent 2 years rehearsing the vocabulary suddenly discovered that words have consequences. The mayor of Miguel Hidalgo condemned the expressions and stood with the community. That deserves recognition. But a borough condemnation is not a state's answer. It is a borough's answer. Anti-Zionism was the curtain. Anti-Judaism was the play. This is already written. Twice, and once here. Every regime that sees its own project collapsing has to solve a technical problem, attribution. If the economy falls and responsibility lands on whoever governed, the political cycle ends. If the economy falls and responsibility lands on an outside enemy, powerful, unelected and conveniently faceless, the political cycle renews itself. Interwar Germany solved that problem with a legend: we did not lose the war, we were stabbed in the back. The content was false. The function was perfect. The Weimar script did not begin with camps. It began with a cheap idea, repeated in the street by small groups, while decent people said they were few and it did not matter. The seed is always the part that looks harmless. That is why it works. But you do not have to leave Mexico. In the 1930s, this country ran its own organized campaign to expel Jewish merchants from the capital's markets. The Mexican Revolutionary Action existed, the gold shirts, with documented street violence against Jews and against Chinese. Committees for the defense of the race existed, pressuring public markets. And on the state side, an immigration policy that in the very decade of the extermination restricted by administrative means the entry of Jewish refugees. Mexican historiography has documented it. It simply is not taught. The difference with today is not in the shout. It is in the language of the shout. In 1934, the chant was racial and said out loud. In 2026, it dresses as a humanitarian cause and is set under a borrowed flag. Same operation, better costume. Mexico is not importing this hatred. It is reactivating it. Gaza to cover Sinaloa. Palestine to justify Bataraguato. Mexico is on the eve of an accumulation of hard facts that cannot be negotiated. Treasury designations. OFAC blocks. Cases in United States federal courts against political operators. Each of those facts produces a single question, and it is lethal: who built this, who let it grow, who got paid? There is no political answer to that question. There is one way out, and it is to swap it for a different question. A pre-built external enemy is exactly that: insurance against attribution. It is not invented on the day of the collapse. It is planted earlier, tested earlier, and kept on hand. So that on the day the peso falls, the market falls, investment falls, and the arrests land, the sentence is already loaded and sounds natural. And the sentence is this: it is not Mexico's liberation from the cartels. It is the submission of Mexicans to international jury. Read it slowly, because it is the heart of the operation. When the Mexican economy breaks, and it will, the blame will not fall on the governing party. It will fall on an international financial power with no address and no face that decided to punish Mexico for daring. The trafficker becomes a patriot. The foreign prosecutor becomes an agent. And the shopkeeper in Polanco becomes an accomplice. That has a name and it is not new, the vindication of crime as an act of sovereignty. For it to work, it needs an enemy that is at once powerful and small, foreign and next door, invisible and easy to point at. European history already picked that profile once. No one had to invent another. The only cross-cutting consensus left. And here is the uncomfortable part for the good conscience: this operation does not belong to one party. The anti-Jewish cause fits the governing left, the old opposition right, and an entire commentariat equally well. Mexican anti-Judaism was not born on the left, it has an old, conservative, confessional root, and it spent a century waiting for a presentable format. Anti-Zionism handed it one. That is why the weekend's outrage was selective. Because the underground consensus crosses the whole spectrum, and every camp knows that somewhere in its own base there are people who cheered. That is the grave part. Not the march. The consensus. Iran does not improvise in this hemisphere. Anyone who says that raising Iran in Latin America is paranoia has not read the hemisphere's judicial record. It is not a theory. It is a list of the dead. 29 dead in Buenos Aires. The first warning that the Middle East conflict had opened an operational branch in the Southern Cone. 85 dead at the Jewish Mutual Association. The worst anti-Jewish attack in Latin American history. Still no verdict, with Interpol red notices pending against Iranian officials. Argentina signs an understanding with Tehran to investigate AMIA. The prosecutor on the case denounces it as a cover-up of the very crime it was meant to solve. The prosecutor is found dead the night before presenting his complaint to Congress. That is the documented price of touching this file in the region. 15 lives taken on the first night of Hanukkah. The United States Senate confirms its special envoy against anti-Semitism days later. The curve is no longer rhetorical. Weeks earlier, a call for a simultaneous national march, Mexico City, Tabasco from the Quinta Grijalva, Pachuca, Ciudad Juarez, and Jalisco. Five squares, four political time zones, one day. Outrage does not do that. Structure does. The Sao Paulo Forum is a real organization, founded in 1990, with public membership of left-wing parties across the hemisphere. That needs no proving, it is in their own charter. It coordinates agenda, synchronizes vocabulary, and sustains a continental network of cadres, media, and foundations. And they are not fools. They know what everyone knows, that the arrests of political criminals are coming and that the governing narrative does not survive the evidence. They need a spare story. A story that turns the prosecution of crime into the persecution of the nation. Hatred of Zionism is that story. What is missing from this file, and I will say it before a defense lawyer does, is the receipt. The link between the continental architecture and Friday's contingent is unproven. No one has published the transfer. Which is why what follows is not an accusation. It is a list of questions someone has a legal duty to answer. 7 questions. None accuses. This is work, not opinion. Everything that follows is public information or obtainable through ordinary legal channels. And the answer that will tell you the most is the one that never arrives. The organization names are legible in the photographs, which are legally incorporated, with what tax ID, what registry number, what fiscal address and what legal representative. Authorized donee status, agreements with agencies, cultural or union programs. If an organization calling for the expulsion of Mexicans receives a single peso of budget, that is an administrative liability matter. Buses, food, banner printing. All of it generates invoices.
A spontaneous march has no vendor.
This one did. Billed to whom? Did money come from abroad? Transfers into those accounts in the previous 90 days. Mexico's Financial Intelligence Unit holds that data. That it holds it and does not use it is also a story.
Mexico City's penal code criminalizes discrimination.
If there is no case file for an ethnic expulsion chant outside a temple, the absence of the file is the finding. Did the government use the word? Antisemitism or tensions? Discrimination or demonstration?
A state that avoids the correct noun is taking sides through grammar, and that is documented with a date.
Officials, party leaders, union staff. Photographs are public record, and one attendee holding office turns the incident into state responsibility. First, the enemy is named. Then what is his gets handed out. Brazil votes October 4th. Mexico in 2027.
The strategy will intensify in the coming months, and the reason is electoral arithmetic, not ideology.
Brazil votes in the first round on October 4th, 2026. If the Latin American narco left loses there, it loses its continental hub, its funding and its coordination. And a movement that loses its hub does not moderate, it radicalizes.
It turns up the volume on the external enemy because that is the only thing it still gets for free.
Mexico enters its June 2027 midterms with that volume already installed. You do not defeat a hatred by denying it. You defeat it by explaining what it is for. Voters forgive hatred. They do not forgive being played for fools.
One identical question to every candidate, yes or no, no nuance.
Whoever answers with, but the context in Gaza has painted their own portrait, and that record is filed for 2027.
Evangelicals, business owners, Lebanese, Chinese, Korean communities. The Mexico of the 1930s persecuted Jews and Chinese through the same committee.
That precedent turns every migrant community into a natural ally.
A government can ignore its Jewish community at no domestic cost. It cannot ignore a chapter in the State Department's Religious Freedom Report in the middle of a trade renegotiation. Fund narrative, not press releases.
The left took 40 years to win the vocabulary and did it by funding culture. A press release does not compete with a film festival. Washington's answer already exists. Secretary Marco Rubio, with President Donald Trump's authorization, advanced the nomination of Yehuda Kaplan as special envoy to monitor and combat antisemitism, with the rank of ambassador. Nominated in May 2025, confirmed by the Senate on December 18, 2025, in office since the 22nd. And here is the fact that gives it weight: the Senate moved quickly after the Bondi Beach attack. That office was not filled for a hypothetical scenario. It was filled after a mass killing. It has a global mandate and takes part in the SECA forum. A documented file of incidents in Mexico, with date, location, verbatim chant, and measured institutional response, enters through that door and becomes a diplomatic instrument. It is not a letter of complaint. It is input for the annual Religious Freedom Report. The statutory avenues exist and the standard is high. FARA, 22 U.S.C. 611 and following, if agency on behalf of a foreign principal without registration were established. IEPA, with criminal penalties at 50 U.S.C. 1705, if movement of funds from a blocked jurisdiction were established. Material support, 18 U.S.C. 2339b, if a nexus to a designated foreign terrorist organization were established. All three require documentary proof of flow or instruction. None stands on a photograph.
Why this matters to a founder who is not Jewish? The construction of an internal enemy is the leading indicator of expropriation. Always in the same order, with no known historical exception.
First, the enemy is named. Then the naming is normalized.
Then the enemy's property stops being property and becomes legitimate spoils.
No one confiscates without narrating first.
If you run a company in Mexico, the risk that was just repriced is not anti-Jewish risk. It is the risk that the category enemy of the nation is available, flexible, and applicable. Today Jews occupy it. The category does not belong to whoever occupies it. It belongs to whoever administers it. And whoever administers it decides whose turn is next year, the one billing in dollars, the one with a foreign partner, the one who moved to Texas, the one listed abroad, the one who filed a complaint. Masaryk is not a symbolic street. It is the highest value per square meter retail corridor in the country. When an ethnic expulsion chant is shouted in that corridor and the federal state does not answer with the correct noun, the country did not lose reputation. It repriced its contract risk. And the moment that shows up in a raid is not the day of the march. It is the day the silence is confirmed. The operational point, with a date. If foreign capital reaches you, your investment committee will ask about this within 90 days. Not out of solidarity, out of compliance. The question will arrive worded like this: describe your operations' exposure to institutional instability arising from state-tolerated hate speech. Having the answer written before the question arrives is worth real money. And the battle already being lost. The hemisphere's left read Gramsci and executed him. It funded chairs, publishing houses, screenplays, festivals, fellows, and memes. It took 40 years and it won the vocabulary. Whoever controls the words does not need to win the debate, they define which debates exist. The Mexican business class funded product. It optimized operations. And it woke up one Monday to find the law had changed, the vocabulary was already occupied, and its own defense sounded indefensible because the words to defend itself had been written by the other side. The electoral battle is fought in 1 year. The cultural one was fought in the 10 before. The chauffeur plays no melody. It only says wake up. 60 people chose Friday, September 11th. That was no accident of the calendar. Rosh Hashanah is the new year, and it opens with the chauffeur, a ram's horn that plays no melody. It makes one sound, and that sound means one thing, wake up. They chose the day a community gathers to pray for a better year in order to tell it to leave the country where it was born. The date was the message. And the message was not aimed at Jews, who understood it 80 years ago and need no one to explain it. It was aimed at everyone else, to see who turns around. The silence is already being measured. All that is left to decide is which side of the file each person will appear on when it is finally read in full.